The Coram Deo Church community is a missional church rooted in historic biblical Christianity and committed to engaging an ever-changing culture. We hope this message spurs you towards spiritual formation and mission and helps you delight in Christ alone. Thanks for listening.
The scripture reading for this morning is taken from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. The word of God for the people of God.
All right, well, I think there's at least one thing that unites all of us in the room this morning, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you find yourself currently believing about God or about the Bible or about spirituality. And that one thing that unites us is all of us want change. That's why we go on diets and join gyms. That's why we seek mentors and hire life coaches. It's why we go to counseling and seek therapy. It's why we change jobs or change careers or change our living situations. All of us know that in various places in our lives, in various seasons of our lives, we want and need change. And so I think we can start by agreeing that's part of what unites us here this morning. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, of course, is a message of change. It's good news that we really can be changed through faith in Jesus. We are a church that exists to herald this message. Jesus changes people. He really does. And yet, the realities of change are often more complex than we realize and give credit to. And especially within the Christian community, we're guilty sometimes of heralding this message, Jesus changes people, without thinking very deeply about how that change comes about and what we should expect. And so we're embarking this morning on a 4-week series called How We Change. And the title is significant. Notice it's not how I change, it's how we change. Meaning, the church is a laboratory of change. The local church is to be a community where we change, because one of the things that's factually true about us is we never change apart from relationship, apart from community. So we want to facilitate together the reality of what it means for us to be changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I think there are three categories of people here this morning, at least. You sort of heard me refer to them in the prayer. Number one, there are those of you who have experienced meaningful change in your life through relationship with Jesus. And so when I say Jesus changes people, you're saying, yeah, I've experienced that. There's a second category of you who are skeptical that Jesus really changes anything. You might be saying, hey, I know people experience various kinds of change, but I'm not convinced Jesus has anything significant to do with that. And there's a third category of people that I think perhaps are disillusioned with change. Like maybe you've tried various patterns or pathways to change in your life. Maybe you've even felt like you've tried this whole Jesus thing and it just didn't work. And so you're disillusioned about change and about the possibility of change. And so there's a few things I want to do in this series. Number one, I want to encourage those of you who are experiencing change and say, let's continue. Let's hope. Let's excel still more. Let's continue to live into the reality of change. I want you to feel encouraged. I want to win over those of you who are skeptical of change, who aren't convinced that Jesus really changes anything. And I hope to challenge and maybe provoke and maybe stir even those of you who are disillusioned with change. And so over the next 4 weeks, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to unpack 4 biblical principles about change. And really, as I think about this series during the month of November, part of my goal is just that you would walk out of this month and into the Advent season with just these 4 big ideas sort of locked into your consciousness. I want them to sink in, and I want them to give you a theological anchor for understanding change, for the lifelong work of what the Bible calls sanctification, which is the idea of transforming us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So here are the four statements I sort of want to unpack with you this month. Here they are. Change is slow work. Change is heart work. Change is God's work. And change is your work. All right? So here's where I want to start. I want us to talk today about the reality that change is slow work. And so as we begin, as we dive into that idea, I want you to think back with me to the time when ordering a latte was a slow and sensory experience, right? Do you remember back when you used to order a latte and it started with the barista grinding the beans right there in front of you, right? Like your cup of coffee was ground fresh right there, and it would come down into that little espresso filter, and then they would pack it down with the little packing tool, right, and get it all nice and pressed. And then that barista would put it into the espresso machine and pull the shot into a glass cup. Might even pull two or three shots if they were really serious about coffee, just to get the separation just right. And then they would steam the milk, and that would take a minute or two. And then they would combine those shots of espresso and that steamed milk into a glass. If they were really good, they'd even do a little latte art on the top so that it had like a leaf or something or a heart, right? And they would serve it to you in a mug, never in a to-go cup unless you specifically asked for it, because this is a real coffee shop after all, right? This is what ordering a latte used to be like. Even Starbucks back in the beginning was about this sort of craft. And then capitalism ruined it all. Right? So first of all came the drive-thru. And the drive-thru coffee shop became about like cranking as many cups of coffee out as possible. And then after the drive-thru came the automatic espresso machine, where literally some college kid pushes a button and the machine grinds the beans, packs the beans, pulls the shot, and all he does is stick the paper cup under there and catch the shot coming out of the automatic brilliant espresso machine patented by the Starbucks company. Right? Then after that came the app, so that now you can literally order your drink, walk into the store, pick it up while waiting for you without ever having to wait a minute. And friends, this is the American way, right? We want what we want right here, right now, at the swipe of a finger. We want it immediately. And listen, this craving for immediacy colors our view of change, doesn't it? Like, in a world where we're just used to getting what we want immediately, if I'm seeking change in some area of my life and it's been a couple weeks and it doesn't feel like anything's changing, I start to get impatient, right? Like, what in the world is wrong? It's been 2 weeks. How many of you have been a part of a church or a ministry where they give testimonials, right? Have you guys experienced this? And what testimony do you always hear in these contexts? You generally, not always, but generally, you hear the testimony of the addict who came to Christ and was miraculously and instantaneously delivered from their addiction, right? And listen, glory to God, that does happen. Like, I know people that that's their story. God really does that. But here's the thing. For every one person who has that story, I also know 5 addicts who have come to Jesus and who struggle with resisting that craving every single day, right? We love the miracle story because it's dramatic and immediate, but we don't often tell the other stories. And so if you're the addict fighting every day for sobriety, or if you're the person battling every day with besetting sin, you start to feel like maybe God sort of left you out of the deal, right? Like, he changes other people miraculously and instantaneously, but he sort of left you to struggle on your own. And that's why we need to hear the good news this morning, that change is slow work. Or as one pastor friend of mine puts it, 1 degree of change is still change. Change is slow work. This is good news to all of us who are cynical, skeptical, jaded, unhopeful, not sure that change really is possible. Change is slow work. And so if you have a Bible, I want you to open it to Galatians chapter 6, which you've already heard read. The book of Galatians is a little book in the middle of the New Testament. If you're newer to your Bible, don't be afraid, like my daughter did last night, to use the table of contents and find a page number. That's perfectly normal. I realize it's really dark in here, so you're probably trying to find Galatians. You're like, I can't actually see. So I get it. That's why we put it on the screen for you, okay? Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9. And we're just gonna sink our minds into this passage and this principle about change. So let me read this passage. Just sort of begin by letting these words of God wash over you and sit on you and just let them sink in for a minute, okay? God says this, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Notice this text starts with this exhortation. Do not be deceived. Why would the Bible say that? Probably because we have a tendency to be deceived, right? Probably because we have a tendency to be confused, to be deceived. In fact, the language here could be translated, do not deceive yourself. So it's not as though there's some conspiracy out there to deceive us. Rather, what this is getting at is we have a tendency to think incorrectly, to think wrongly. And so the scriptures are saying, hey, think clearly about this. Get this clear in your minds. Don't be deceived into a false understanding of change. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. This is one of the most important principles in the Bible, and so I want to spend a little bit of time here. As I said, I was in San Diego this week. This metaphor will be a little bit lost on those folks. But y'all live in Nebraska, and so the metaphor of sowing and reaping should work for you guys, even for you soft-handed urbanites who have never worked on a farm, all right? Oh, man, that was tough, right? Hey, listen, there was a visually impaired guy here a few weeks ago who shook my hand. He was like, oh, you have rough hands. I respect that. And I was like, sweet, I'm going to make fun of people that don't have rough hands now. So there you go. So here's the deal. Around here, the snow begins to thaw in March, right? That's when sort of we start coming out of our wintertime stupor and sort of going outside and go, oh, there's this big glowing thing in the sky. What is that, right? That's when farmers start to take stock of their fields, start paying attention to things like moisture content and soil conditions. And on April 21st, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, April 21st is the beginning of planting season for corn, which of course is the most common crop around here. Planting season begins April 21st and can last all the way through the month of May, depending on conditions and weather and all of that. And then you have June, July, August, September, October. October is when harvest or reaping season begins. And it lasts usually through the month of November and sometimes into early December. And then that season is done. Here's the point. No farmer stands in his field in May staring at the dirt and worrying that nothing's changing. It's a 5 or 6 month process. The farmer has planted the seed, and he knows it's going to be 5 or 6 months before I have a crop to show for this. This is the metaphor the scriptures are using. Change is slow work. It's like the growing of a crop. It doesn't happen overnight. And God wants us to have this principle in mind. He wants us to understand, look, spiritual change is a lot like putting a seed in the ground in April and reaping something in October. That's what it's like. Now, let's keep reading. Verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Okay, so notice there are two places you can sow. You can sow to the flesh, or you can sow to the Spirit. So let's talk about this. The flesh is the Bible's term for sinful, selfish, human pride. It's the sphere of everything self-indulgent and God-neglecting. It refers to all the sort of fallen, ungodly desires that cling to us because of sin. Earlier in Galatians, just a few paragraphs back, the scriptures tell us that the works of the flesh are these: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. That's the fruit that grows from sowing to the flesh. Okay, so here's your choice. You can sow to the flesh, or you can sow to the Spirit. And sowing to the flesh is going to produce a certain kind of crop. And the scriptures say you're going to reap a lot of corruption as a result of that. So let's imagine now that you're a person who's spent a few decades of your life sowing to the flesh. That's the story that a lot of us have. Right before we came to meet Jesus and experienced his goodness and grace, we spent some time sowing to the flesh. Let's say you spent a few decades of your life sowing to the flesh. What then is going to be true in your life? First of all, you're going to be reaping some bad fruit of what you've sown. There are probably some lingering effects and consequences in your life that are the result of foolish choices you've made in the past. Listen to me. That does not mean God is angry at you. It does not mean God is punishing you. It does not mean God is holding out on you. What it means is you are reaping what you've sown. These are natural realities of how the moral universe works under the providence of God. So first of all, you're going to be reaping some bad fruit. Secondly, it's going to take a long time of sowing to the Spirit before that crop starts to change, right? Like, you're going to have to sow good seed to the Spirit for a while before the harvest of good fruit in your life starts to outweigh and overcome the bad fruit. And third, to experience real change, not only do you have to start sowing to the Spirit, but you have to stop sowing to the flesh. Right? So there has to be sort of a decisive shift, a decisive change, right? If you keep sowing to the flesh, you're going to keep reaping corruption, right? So like, even after you hear the gospel and believe, if you keep sowing seeds to the flesh in April, later on in October, you're going to be still reaping corruption, right? And so if you want change, you've got to not only sow to the Spirit, but you've also got to stop sowing to the flesh. There needs to be a decisive break with the past and a decisive shift in what you give yourself to. And listen, the good news of the gospel is Jesus has come to make that possible. Okay? So here's the story of human history. If you want like human history in a nutshell, here it is. Human beings, for a really long time, have sown to the flesh and reaped corruption. Like, all that we see in the world, all the brokenness and all the messiness, this is all us reaping corruption, because the history of the human race is we've sowed a lot of bad seed and we reap a lot of what we sow, and that process seems to continue. And listen, that would be where we were stuck, and for that to change, someone had to break us out of that cycle, to pull us out of that death spiral and to set us on a new course. And that's what Jesus did. That's why Jesus came into the world. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ did not hover above the world giving us advice on how to change. The Lord Jesus Christ entered into the world to make it possible for us to change. And here's what he did. In his life on earth, Jesus triumphed over the flesh. Jesus was in human form, just as we are, and yet he was without sin. He lived a life of obedience, of virtue, of goodness, of beauty, and he triumphed over the flesh. In his death, he broke the power of corruption. He defeated the power of corruption. And when we die with him in faith and baptism, guess what? The power of corruption in our lives is broken as well. And then in his resurrection, Jesus made something entirely new possible. Without Jesus, you have no choice but to sow to the flesh. There is no other option. That's what you've got. But because Jesus has risen from the grave, what he's done is to pour out his Holy Spirit on the church. Everyone who belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone who turns from sin and from self and from corruption and trusts in Jesus receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so what that means is now you can sow to the Spirit instead of sowing to the flesh. And that's possible for you and available to you because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Yeah. So listen, here's what I'm saying. Jesus does not negate the law of sowing and reaping. Jesus transforms the law of sowing and reaping. Jesus makes it possible for us not just to sow to the flesh and reap corruption, but for us to sow to the Spirit and reap life and transformation and beauty and goodness. So the gospel is not, now that Jesus has come, you no longer reap what you sow. The gospel is, now that Jesus has come, you can sow different things and reap different things because the Holy Spirit is available to you. So I want you to dwell with me on this word here, or this phrase, the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And so notice a couple things about this with me. First of all, notice that this sowing and reaping thing is not a mechanistic process. Right? Like there's a relational dynamic here. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, who is a person, not a thing, not an it, not a force, but a personal being. The Holy Spirit is present, and I'm sowing to the Spirit. So there's a relational dynamic at play. And second, notice that it's still the language of sowing and reaping. Like, that's still the language, right? Some of our friends in certain spheres of Christianity have an overly simplistic doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And they sometimes talk as though if you just get the Holy Spirit or have the Holy Spirit or get filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll change overnight. And again, praise God. People experience that. That happens. But listen, this text is telling you the Holy Spirit works through the law of sowing and reaping. Which means this: the slow road to change is no less the work of the Holy Spirit than the dramatic moment of deliverance. The slow, patient process of change is no less the Holy Spirit at work in your life than the dramatic moment of deliverance. So, look, maybe you've got a friend who experienced a dramatic deliverance from the grip of lust in his life while you're walking the slow road of sowing to the Spirit, and change feels to you very incremental. Oh, well, praise the Lord. Same Spirit at work in both, right? The same Spirit is at work in both. Don't lose heart. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. The law of sowing and reaping is governed by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is active in what we reap when we sow to the Spirit. The slow process of change is no less spiritual than the dramatic moment of change. In fact, we sing a song here sometimes, a little hymn called God the Spirit. And there's this lyric in that song that says this: may thy ceaseless renovation cleanse our souls from stains of earth. Not may thy momentary deliverance cleanse us from stains of earth, but may thy ceaseless renovation, thy ongoing day after day, moment by moment work, may that cleanse our souls from stains of earth. or maybe to use the language of this passage, from the lusts of the flesh. Okay, so let's keep reading. Verse 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Why would God say this to us? Because we do grow weary, right? We grow weary of doing good. Change is slow work. And sometimes it just feels like it's not worth it. Like nothing is happening. Like nothing seems to be changing, right? You're like your kid who like measures himself on the doorway, and then 3 days later they come back and like, have I grown at all? No, man, I'm not, right? I'm not growing. No, come back next year and measure and it'll be real different, right? Sometimes you feel like you're in mile 19 of a marathon and your body is giving out and you can't see the finish line and you're not sure you're going to make it to 26.2. But listen, hear your Father's gentle words to you. Hey, I know you're tired. I know change is slow. But don't give up. Don't grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. In due season, we will reap if we do not give up. Do you hear the language here? Do you notice the syntax? This is a promise. Did you catch that? This is a guarantee. This is God saying to you, hey, listen, in due time, you will reap. You can bank on it. You can count on it. You will see fruit in due time. Listen, we're playing the long game, right? We're playing the long game. You are not yet the person you will be, but praise God, you're no longer the person you used to be, right? You with me? But we're in this for the long game. We're in this for the long haul. God is making us into the image of Christ. He's reshaping and reforming us so that we look like Jesus, and that's a really long process, and we got a long time. And so, in due time, in due season, we will reap. You will see the fruit of transformation. And so here's the deal. Just don't give up. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. When you find yourself growing weary, come back to this passage and bank on this promise. Because God is saying, for my people, if you belong to me, if you're one of the Lord Jesus Christ's people, change is inevitable. It will happen. It can't not happen. Do you know why? Because God is personally vested in it. The Spirit of God is dwelling in you to bring about change. And so since God's involved, it's going to happen. Change is slow work, but change is guaranteed for every one of Jesus' people. God does not adopt you into his family to leave you the way you are. He adopts you into his family so that he might change you. He sends his Holy Spirit to transform you. But you're not passive in the process. You're a part of the process. So the exhortation is, hey, pay attention to what you're sowing. Pay attention to where you're investing energy and diligence. You will change because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, but you will change slowly. And that's not to say, man, there's not moments where God just sort of drops some grace on you and things just come alive and you change in dramatic ways. Praise God, that happens. But I just want you to see, but that's not normative all the time in every situation. God is saying, here's what change looks like. It looks a lot like sowing and reaping, planting and harvesting, putting a seed in the ground, letting it germinate and grow and blossom and reaping something from it down the road. That's change. That's spiritual change. Change is slow work. So look, I want to ask you a couple questions, all right? As we close, because look, we're doing this together all month. And so I wanted to start with this encouragement that change is slow work. Here's why. Because we're going to talk about change for the next 3 weeks. And I think for some of us, man, we so want change and we're so confused about change and we're so frustrated about where we wish we were changing and aren't, that I think we just get wrapped up in confusion and frustration and discouragement and dishearteningness. I don't even know if that's a word. I think I just made that up. What would be the disheartenedness, disheartenedosity, whatever. You get disheartened, all right? You get wrapped up in that. And you need the encouragement that, hey, look, change is slow. 1 degree of change is still change. So keep walking it out. Keep sowing to the Spirit. Stop sowing to the flesh. Figure out what you're sowing. And then sow different things. And expect by God's grace that because of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, He's going to bring a harvest of good fruit. So here's the first question I want to ask you. Are you one of Jesus' people? Have you given yourself over completely to the Lord Jesus Christ? See, here's what you got to remember. You can't sow to the Spirit unless you know the Spirit, unless the Spirit dwells in you. And so this is kind of the catch-22 of gospel change. For those of you that sort of are disillusioned or you're skeptical or you're on the outside looking in going, I want to believe that Jesus can change me, but I'm not sure and I'm not ready to buy into that. Here's the catch-22. You can't try gospel change out first to see if it works. Like you can't kind of test drive and go, let me just sow to the Spirit a little bit and see how that works. And if it's good, then I'm in. You got to be willing to turn the keys over to Jesus. You got to be willing to say, hey, all right, God, you can have my life, you can have my heart, you can have my being. I'm trusting in you and I'm all in. Sign me up. And listen, maybe you're not there yet, and that's okay. I hope you keep hanging around during this series. But my prayer is that there's some of you who are desperate enough for change that you're ready to turn the keys over. That you're ready to say, okay, Jesus, look, I've been sowing to all kinds of flesh and I'm reaping all kinds of corruption and I'm really tired of that and I see where that's going and I'm done with that. I'm ready for change. So if that's where you find yourself this morning, I want to invite you. I want to beckon you, I want to call you to surrender and trust and faith to the Lord Jesus. Give yourself up to the one who alone can change you. Take him at his word. So that's the first call, the first invitation, the first question. Are you one of Jesus' people? Second, let me ask you this question. I want to ask you to reflect on this. Who do you want to be 10 years from now? I know for some of you guys, you're like, oh, I already got a vision of myself in my mind because you're futuristic and visionary. And for some of you, you're like, 10 years is a long time. I don't even know. But get in your mind a picture of who do you want to be 10 years from now? Or 5 years from now? Or 2 years from now? And then ask honestly this question. What do you need to stop sowing and start sowing for that to become reality? I think sometimes we can be very passive about change. We're just like, well, I mean, I guess if God wants to change me, he'll change me. Listen, do you hear the word of God saying to you, the one who sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, and the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. You have a role to play. What do you need to stop sowing and start sowing in order to become the person you envision being, the person you know you're made to be, the person you know God intends you to be? Let's not grow weary of doing good, church. Let's start sowing the seeds of change and trusting the Holy Spirit to bring the fruit of change in our lives. Change is slow work. That's the big idea for today. If you walk out of here with that, you've walked out with what I've prayed the Holy Spirit would sort of drive into us. Change is slow work. And along the way, we need encouragement, right? We need to be reminded and that our Father is committed to changing us as slow as that process may be. We need to be reminded, God is not going to leave us where we are. He wants to change us, and he promises that he will. And so as a means of reminding us of that, of renewing that hope in us, the Lord invites us to his table. He invites us to eat a meal with him, to be reminded of the Father's love for us, to be reminded of Jesus' victory over sin, and to be reminded of the Spirit's presence with us to change us. We don't earn our way to this table by our good sowing and reaping. We're invited to this table by our Father's mercy and grace in Jesus. And yet, coming to this table says something. Coming to this table is a declaration of faith and trust. It says we are people who are committed to the process of change, who want to look like Jesus Christ, and we are people who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to bring that about. Are you committed to the process of change? Do you want to become more like Jesus? And are you trusting him as the one who makes that possible? If so, then this table is for you. So let's pray together and then let's come to the table together in worship. Would you join me in prayer? So God, would you forgive us this morning for the ways we have mocked you? The ways that by our passivity we have mocked you. The ways that by our impatience we have mocked you. Forgive us for the ways that we have not taken seriously your promise and invitation to change and the work you call us to do in the midst of change. Thank you, Jesus, that you came, lived, died, rose from the dead in victory to make it possible for us to really experience change. Not just to replace old habits with better habits, but to be swept up in the life of the Holy Spirit into a whole new era of history, a whole new set of possibilities. So Jesus, we praise you for that, and we ask now that your Holy Spirit would be at work in us. Father, provoke us this morning. Show us where we need change. Show us where we're avoiding change. Show us where we've given up on change. Show us where we have just failed to desire change. And Father, for the places in our lives where we're still sowing to the flesh, would you bring us to our knees this morning in humble repentance? Would you help us to stop sowing seeds that bear bad fruit? And would you provoke in us anew a longing, a desire to sow to the Spirit, that we might from the Spirit reap eternal life? And Father, for those who are here this morning who are skeptical of change and pondering whether Jesus can really accomplish what they haven't been able to experience anywhere else, would you this morning win them over with your love and your grace and your mercy? Pull them into the great work that you are doing through your church to extend your beautiful kingdom of mercy and grace and beauty and virtue throughout the whole earth. We pray all of this for our good and your glory. Amen.